Well, actually, today I'm talking on character. Now, I know that God's always working on our character, and I felt like I wanted to know more about it. I've been doing a study, and I gave one to Kelly, actually, The Making of a Leader, and it talks all about character. That's great. If you ever want to just, if you're aspiring to be a leader, or if you just want to just walk after God, I mean, it's about being a minister, and you know, you're all ministers. We are the administers. So it's appropriate for every one of us. But it's a great book by Frank DiMaggio. You can get it at Coorong. But I've got a few notes out of that. I just wanted to talk on the character of God and the character of man, and what God is wanting our character to be, which should mirror his character. Just want to start with, I've got a few scriptures and we'll probably be around the place, but we'll start with Genesis 22, verse 1, which is talking on Abraham. And it's halfway through Abraham's story, but this is where he is tested. If you've got a Life Application Bible, it's on page 44. Okay, so it says, Genesis 22, verse 1, sometime later God tested Abraham. He said, "Abraham, here I am," he replied. Then God said, "Take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains I will tell you about." Early the next morning, Abraham got up and saddled his donkey. He took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. When he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place of God, the place God had told him about. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. He said to his servants, "Stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship and then we will come back to you." Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac, and he himself carried the fire and the knife. As the two of them went on together, Isaac spoke up and said to his father Abraham, "Father." "Yes, my son," Abraham replied. "The fire and the wood are here," Isaac said, "but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" Abraham answered, "God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son." And the two of them went on together. When they reached the place God had told him about, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then he reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, "Abraham, Abraham, here I am," he replied. "Do not lay a hand on the boy," he said. "Do not do anything to him. Now that I know that you fear God, because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son." Abraham looked up, and there in the thicket he saw a ram caught by its horns. He went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called the place, "The Lord will provide." And to this day it is said, "On the mountain of the Lord it will be provided." The angel of the Lord called to Abraham from heaven a second time. I just wanted to start with Abraham because, I mean, we all hear of the amazing things he did, and his faith, and he's our father Abraham, because the Israelite nation was birthed out of his family and on his obedience of going, setting out when God said, "Go to a place I will show you," and it's quite amazing how his character was formed through it. But he did start with obedience, and I believe that to build our character in living for Christ, there's there's some keys that we need to have in our foundation. They're just absolutes. We need to be obedient to the Lord. We need to obey him. If we think we have a better way, we're sort of kidding ourselves, and we can go off on another trajectory in our lives and we think we're going the right way, but when there's not obedience in our foundation, when we're not saying, I will obey the Lord, I will be truthful, then there's a real chink there. There's also trusting God, and he's always working a trust in him. And just in that passage, how Abraham, you can imagine his heart. I mean, he only had one son. He'd waited years and years to get him. And then he set out on this three-day journey. Well, what was he thinking that whole time? He'd have to control his thoughts, his emotions, his feeling of wanting to run somewhere else. But he was obedient and he trusted God. That was the biggest thing through it. And God was testing him in it. He was trying to get this character trait of trusting him through this. And it came to fruition because Abraham passed the test. He went through with what God had said because he knew God's character. He knew God would come through. He just knew it. He'd provide a way. He even said to his son, oh, don't worry. There is, because, I mean, imagine if your son said that to you. Oh, where is the burnt offering? maybe Isaac was thinking, oh, this looks a bit strange. But Abraham didn't falter. No, God will provide it. And so that's that deep trust that he had in God. And also to be honest. These are those three things that I feel in my life that they just have to be there, and to build our character in God, because he can build on that when we're honest. So obedience, trust and honesty, and being honest with ourselves and honest with God most of all. So if God is saying, what have you been doing? Don't just hide from God like Adam and Eve did. They hid from God when they knew they'd done the wrong thing. Let's not hide, because that's a trait that's in us that we can easily just fall back into if we're not focusing our heart on God. So we need to be honest. We need to confess when we need to confess our sins, and be upfront with God, and then he can bring favour into your life. And sometimes there is a waiting on that, but there is always a blessing when you're just honest with God, when you're honest with people, and you trust him and you're obedient. I know that as we walk through life, we need to, especially as Christians, you know, we've talked about we've come out of darkness, we're changed, we're a new creation. And, you know, the world is looking at how we conduct our lives. And it is a shame when there's not an honesty that's coming from us. And so God is always working on our hearts and making sure we've got to make sure that we keep that obedience to his word, and walking uprightly with one another as well. Okay, so if we go to Daniel chapter 3, the image of God in the fiery furnace. I love this story, and I do it a lot in kids' church. We have done it a few times, but I do love doing it. It's about Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego. Have you all heard of them? Yes, Zara has. Yep, Casey. it's an amazing story of trust in God. I mean, yeah, it's just amazing. Let's read it. King Nebuchadnezzar made an image of gold, 90 feet high and 9 feet wide, and set it up on the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. He then summoned the satraps, prefects, governors, advisors, treasurers, judges, magistrates, and all the other provincial officials to come to the dedication of the image he had set up. So the satraps, prefects, governors, advisors, treasurers, judges, magistrates and all the other provincial officials assembled for the dedication of that image that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up, and they stood before it. So this was an unholy thing. It wasn't to bring glory to God. It was obviously just against God, and it was an evil abomination. Then the herald loudly proclaimed, "This is what you are commanded to do, O peoples, nation, and men of every language. As soon as you hear the sound of the horn, flute, cither, lyre, harps, pipes, all kinds of music, you must fall down and worship the image of gold that King Nebuchadnezzar has set up. Whoever does not fall down and worship will immediately be thrown into a blazing furnace." Did you hear that? You get thrown into the furnace if you don't worship this thing that they want you to worship. So there were a couple of God-fearing people there, just a few of them. Therefore, as soon as they heard the sound of the horn, flutes, the light, and all kinds of music, all the peoples and nations of men of every language fell down and worshipped the image of gold. They just did what they were told that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. At this time, some astrologers came forward and denounced the Jews. They said to King Nebuchadnezzar, "O king, live forever. You have issued a decree that everyone who hears a sound..." Oh, they go over that again. "And whoever does not fall down and worship will be thrown into a blazing furnace. But here are some Jews whom you have set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego, who pay no attention to you. O king, they neither serve you, your gods, nor worship the image of gold you have set up." Furious with rage, Nebuchadnezzar summoned Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So these men were brought before the king, and Nebuchadnezzar said to them, Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the image of gold I've set up? Now when you hear the sound of all the music and all the instruments, if you are ready to fall down and worship the image I made, very good. But if you do not worship it, you will be thrown immediately into a blazing furnace. Then what God will be able to rescue you from my hand? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to the king, "O King Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to save us from it, and he will rescue us from your hand, O king. But even if he does not, we want you to know, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up." Nebuchadnezzar was furious with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and his attitude toward them changed. He ordered the furnace heated 7 times hotter than usual and commanded some of the strongest soldiers in his army to tie Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego up and throw them into the blazing furnace. So these men, wearing their robes, trousers, turbans, and other clothes, were bound and thrown into the blazing furnace. The king's command was so urgent and the furnace so hot that the flames of the fire killed the soldiers who took the Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego up there. So it's amazing that even as they went and they were carrying them, the soldiers died, but Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego didn't as they were going towards it. So I suppose they fell down, and then Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego stood up and kept walking towards it. Or maybe they were just in there. And these 3 men, firmly tied, fell into the blazing furnace. Or so they fell in. Then King Nebuchadnezzar leaped to his feet in amazement and asked his advisers, "Weren't there 3 men that we tied up and threw in there?" They replied, "Certainly, O king." He says, "Look, I see a 4th man walking around in the fire, walking around, unbound and unharmed, and the 4th looks like the son of gods. Nebuchadnezzar then approached the opening of the blazing furnace and shouted, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out, come here." So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out of the fire, and the satraps, prefects, governors, and everyone saw this. They saw that the fire had not harmed their bodies, nor was a hair of their head singed. Their robes were not scorched, and there was no smell of fire on them. Awesome! It's because of their obedience to God. They knew that God said, I will have no other gods before me. They knew that they wanted to honor him. And there was this obedience in those three guys. Said, no, O king, live forever. They were respectful to King Nebuchadnezzar, but they said, this is our God will deliver us. But even if he doesn't, we will not bow down to your God of gold. And out of that, God was like going, yes, I love the character in these guys. And this is the obedience that was in them. They just trusted God and they were going to go through whatever. And imagine that. I don't know what they were thinking as they're going up there, as the guys were carrying them and they were all tied up. But not even, they didn't even smell of smoke. Now, when you're around a fire, even a bonfire or even a smouldering stump like we were on Thursday. Someone lit a stump out the back of the church here, and it was amazing that we were still here, wasn't it, Jan and Barb and Don? But that was God's providence. He was looking after us, because I drove out in this stump out the back of the church, as you drive out that way, was on fire. I drove right back around and I said, quick, let's get some water on that thing, because it was really getting going. And I'm not exaggerating. There were flames. weren't there. Don and I got the first buckets on, so we doused the flames. But I went away from there. I stunk of smoke. I went into some shops and I was going, do I smell of smoke? I could smell it on me and I had to wash my hair. But these guys didn't stink. They didn't stink of smoke. And amazing, just the character of these guys, the obedience in them. So I think God is really doing something in this church at this time. He's really wanting us to be really rock solid in our character. He's not looking for, you know, fence sitters. He's not looking for people that are just apathetic. And I know that that's your hearts. You know, we want to be steadfast for God. We want to be people who do what we say. We don't want to be people, you know, because we've all heard it, you know, people that go, yeah, I'm this and that, and then their actions speak total opposite. And it's disheartening to the body of Christ. And you know, I know God knows everything. He knows everyone's hearts, but I feel that obviously it saddens God that, you know, we're not being truthful. And I know that we all slip up. So that's why this last one, the honesty, just be honest and repent. I mean, yes, we all make mistakes, but if we can come out and go, yep, I've done this, there is forgiveness then, there is restitution then, there is healing then that God can bring. But if we don't bring it to God, there isn't any forgiveness, because we haven't asked for forgiveness, we haven't brought it to him. So it still sits there, and it grows like a cancer that, you know, we can get into a deception that, oh yeah, we're right and we got away with that, so we can keep going. But he's always working on our character, and we just got to let him. We don't want to shut down in that area. Just always be open to God. Can we go to Mark chapter 1? He strengthens us in our temptation. So let's just go there. Mark chapter 1, verse 12. So he strengthens us by temptation. So we got to remember that there will be temptations, and Jesus was obviously tempted, so we know. But he can strengthen us as we stand up under it. This is This is when Satan has tempted Jesus. At once the Spirit sent him out into the desert, and he was in the desert 40 days being tempted by Satan. He was with the wild animals, and angels attended him. So we need to know that even the temptations will come, and not to think, oh, why is... I've sometimes thought if I'm tempted, then I've sinned already, but like if someone has... How can I explain it? But there are temptations that come your way and you need to turn away. So I'm just thinking of like a movie or something on the internet that's just not good to see. I'm not thinking of the worst things, but like I'm just thinking of just gross images or anything like that. You just know in your heart straight away, I shouldn't look at that. Don't entertain it. That was the temptation straight up. And so you turn away and you go, no, I'm not going to. I'm not going to let that get into my spirit. I'm going to guard my heart. And so, and it's especially with internet today. I mean, it's just rife. Everything's out there for everyone to see. There's no, seems, they say there's limits, but it seems to, you know, there's ads on the side of your computer and stuff, and you can block them. But we need to stand against that. That's a temptation of the devil that's trying to bring muck into our lives. It really is muck, and it can destroy your life if you entertain it. But we can stand up under that temptation. We can say, "Nah, I'm not looking at that. That's rubbish," and turn away. Or even, you know, there's movies you just need to totally walk away from. The TV. We hardly get the TV out of OB flat anyway, and it's sort of like a blessing because it's just rubbish on there. And even the ads, like even if you're watching some nice documentary, an ad might come on that's just totally gross. Just don't even... I feel that we need to, as Christians, just not even entertain it or just go, oh, well, it's all right, I'm just going to sit here and go la la. We need to just turn it off, turn over the channel. Don't entertain it, because we've got to guard this heart. And we don't want to have anything that's going to hinder us from sharing God's love, because with those sorts of temptations, if we sit there and listen to it, or we listen to gossip, or we, you know, entertain something, when we the enemy to someone about the Lord, or they are asking us, we feel this instant condemnation. We go, oh, we can't talk because I saw that, or, you know, I'm not good enough. And the enemy's, you know, he's made you ineffectual. And so this is why we go, I'm not going to watch that. I'm going to stand against any temptation that comes my way. Because Jesus has said, you know, he went through it and he was really hungry after 40 days and thirsty. And he gave us that example that we can do it. But we can't do it on our own. We need the Holy Spirit to help us. And so we need to lean on him. It's not in our own flesh that we do this, because that just, you can just run around in circles forever and feel like, oh, I'm just not good enough. Well, you've got to lean on God. And he's the one that will produce that good character in us. Yeah. So I've got a lot of other notes, but I don't think I'll go into them because it'll go off of that. But what I wanted to do is just talk to the church today and just say that, guys, we just really need to guard our hearts, and because he's bringing us into a new thing. He always is. You know, and we're the church of today. You know, I've just read through... A History of Christianity, and it was a smaller book, but it went right from, you know, Jesus and the first disciples right through to 2006, and I've been pondering that. What is the church? What are you doing in the church today? And we are it. We are it. And, you know, we're just a small group here, but we're not insignificant. God has called us individually as and brought us together as a body and said, I want this body here in Mount Gambier. And he has called us to do great things in his name. And we need to, you know, as we sung, we need to stand in that. We need to get courageous. We need to get bold with that. And we need to make sure our character is right. Because if we're just going, yeah, we can be bold and courageous, but our character's all out of whack and we're lying, we're cheating, we're ineffectual. We're just not going to be representing God as he wants to be represented